I love a Michelob Ultra Tall Boy.
They were insane.
A couple of skinny tall dads.
You like your beer like you like your men. Just fucking cylindrical.
Yeah.
And tall.
It's true. My college roommate used to call them tall daddies. No one, inexplicably. And she would just add Jordan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
She would just add daddy to things that became like her little language. Like if you were falling asleep, she'd be like, snooze daddy over there? Made no sense.
I think that's funny.
It is funny, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they going to be able to hear every time I take a drink?
It's fine.
They like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they love it. Yeah. They're little fucking piss pigs. Right. They just want to gobble it all up.
I just saw a headline that the guy who, the CEO of Seeking Arrangements, the sugar daddy,
yes,
is paying for women's to travel to states where abortion is more accessible and paying for their abortions.
Yeah.
I hope it's not just.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Lindsay, Paul's wife, posted about that on Facebook and was just like, ultimate daddy.
See, the Constitution sucks ass and is stupid, but we are living by it, and that's also going to happen for the foreseeable future. But Roe v. Wade is stupid, fragile legislation in the sense that the Constitution doesn't say shit about abortion, so they were just like, the birth control, and then I guess it doesn't make any sense. It's like a right to privacy, and you prove it. Like, I've tried to argue this in constitutional law and in like mock court, and I realized then how like feeble it is.
Yeah.
And I definitely think that if you are able to extrapolate that for a pro-choice argument, then you're definitely going to be able to extrapolate an anti-choice argument if you have enough crazy zealots working towards it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can get the Constitution to say anything. It's horrible. It's the dumbest. Anyway.
Yeah. That's why originalism is the only way to interpret the Constitution.
And I really don't want people to like tweet after this that I was mansplaining.
No. I don't think that you're mansplaining. It's the only thing I know about.
Are you mansplaining abortion to a woman? No, I'm not.
Please mansplain all politics.
Even if you were mansplaining, no one would tweet about it because no one tweets about the podcast except for two people.
Not yet. I've definitely said some things.
Where like I'm
three.
Like,
yeah.
When Benjamin talks about growing the podcast, what goes through my mind is like, I think I've lucked out because no one listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
If people listen to the podcast, I would get in trouble.
Yeah.
Growing the podcast is just what I call getting hard. So.
I like that.
No, you're right. It is very, very far off. I just think that like, it's not impossible if, you know, because I think The Handmaid's Tale is stupid, but like, I think that we could find ourselves in a much more oppressive like state. For sure, very easily.
The evangelicals completely took over. Right. You know, like, well, I mean, but there aren't enough of
them. Even in the best case scenario, like it would be like if electoral results, we get the House back, or we get the House and the Senate, we get the Senate back, keep the House, get the presidency, and it's just going to be two branches at war with the judiciary forever because so many fucking conservative judges got appointed over during Trump's tenure.
Yeah, federal and like circuit court judges
fucked. And like the lifetime appointment thing.
It's so dumb.
It's grim.
Yeah. I don't understand lifetime appointments.
Well, so much of the way the country was designed was to mitigate the hot-headed electorate.
Mm-hmm.
Like how dare they try and govern themselves?
Also, if like it sounds like a Freemason scheme too. You're like, lifetime appointments. There's nine elders.
You wear robes.
Say, yeah, it's fucking. Yeah. It's insane.
Have I said my grandfather's idea of how elections should work?
How
politicians are elected for life, and every year we execute one.
Mm-hmm.
That's his idea of
wow.
Mm-hmm.
The lottery.
Yeah. I mean, it would have to be more than one.
Yeah.
It would have to be like one per.
Right. I'm like, that already happens. They die. I mean, you don't execute them, but.
I mean, sometimes
they
people
die.
Do.
Yeah. I mean, people get killed and it doesn't make things cool. Yeah,
or their planes crash.
Right.
As we talked about the Paul Wellstone episode.
Yeah. You tell me a plane crashed. I know it wasn't an accident.
I'm reading
no matter
right
what.
Now where something like that happens. It's a John Grisham. I just love John Grisham.
Yeah.
After I finished like a
John
dense
Grisham.
Book,
mm-hmm.
I like a.
Just real,
good John
corny,
Grisham.
Cheesy,
easy.
Fucking,
yes.
yeah.
But you know, he
super
he often,
spy.
But he often has good, like this one's all about coal companies and what they're doing to the environment and, you know, how hard it is to fight them. And, you know, so he often has interesting, socially relevant themes in mm-hmm. his in
does
his
he
books.
Write all those books? Because he puts out like a fucking book a month. Yeah, like
I think he does. He's got the money to hire people.
He's not just though. Yeah, I feel like he just puts a stamp on it. It's like I kind of wrote it.
I read 52 books a year. I read a book a week. Jesus. And it's the same book every time, and it's the Da Vinci Code just every single fucking time, dude.
Do you really read a book
I
a week?
Can recite it backwards. No, Susanna,
you have to
Susanna
buy it every
does.
Time you see it.
I've read six books plus two that I haven't written down, so I've read eight books this year.
Cool.
That's yeah. still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot for a comedian. Mm-hmm. It's like very little for a writer. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we're ruining your life.
No, this is something that I've been thinking about all week, is like how spongy and easily changed and manipulated my brain is, because like as soon as I left, I went to grad school for creative writing, so I was surrounded by writers, and then as soon as I got here, I immediately just started doing comedy and stopped writing completely. It's just like whoever I'm around, I could literally just like go like I could go into the fucking yard across the street with that big pile of lumber, and like if I climbed into the pile of lumber, I would turn into a cat. It's just like straight up. I'm a creature of my environment.
New Orleans does that to people though.
Yeah.
It does make you lazier, and all of a sudden,
I've never
10
moved.
Years has gone by, you know? Yeah. Like,
I'd be too strong anywhere else.
Right. You're like, I haven't achieved any of my dreams, but god damn, I'm having a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
I've said that in serious conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Any time.
I've been known to call it a vortex.
Yeah.
It was derisively, and now I do it affectionately, because now I'm in it.
Yeah, man. Alcohol is so normal in New Orleans that parents kept on giving me and the office manager alcohol mm-hmm. at the end of the school year, which, so you can get fired. If someone wanted to fire you, even if a parent gives you a bottle of alcohol, mm-hmm. if you accept it on campus, they could fire you for that. Yeah. Now, the fact that, like, I've seen the principal do it too, so it would be a lot harder because the culture in our school, it's French people. One time during the school year, it was like the end of someone was leaving, and it was in the middle of a school day. A French person brought a bottle of wine in the teacher's lounge and was like passing it around. And I was like, we can't drink it while the kids are here. Mm. Like, I get it. And then there was a six pack.
But you said we, and that means yes.
Yeah.
It's French.
Yeah.
We can drink here.
Right. The human
resources person came in, and she's American, and she just like, she had let shit slide for so long, and she was just like, what the hell? Like, she was just like, you can't have wine. And then, anyway, so there was a six pack of beer right by my office when all the kids were gone, and I was the only one in that office. Someone put it in our refrigerator, and they kept going, and I know the principal thinks it's me, and it was not me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, there's a ghost drinking beer. And anyway, sorry. New Orleans is
principle.
Insane. It's insane that there's beer in the school fridge and no one knows where it came from.
Yeah. My drink. I'm actually taking weekdays off from drinking now.
That's very smart.
Because it is fucking. It has escalated.
Yeah.
Like last night, I browned out, which is what I call eating ass. But also, I just like forgot the end of the night.
I call that daily. Man. I call that Monday.
I wasn't hungover either day of the
weekend.
I call
that Monday.
And I went to a party, the Lindsay Gayer Sweet 16 party last night after doing the abortion fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
And I like did whippets and I did whippets. I drank
you smoked
a shit
a clove.
Ton. Yeah. I smoked 20,000 cigarettes. And I just drank a shit ton of water and I feel okay. But I'm also like, if I'm not getting hungover from that, that's bad, because that doesn't mean I'm not damaging my body.
Yeah. Well, you are hungover. You're just used to feeling like shit.
No, I feel good.
I really think that so much of what people
run
call
a
hangover is just sleep deprivation. And if you sober up enough before bed. Then
yeah, I sobered up
and
before bed.
And get 8
bed.
Hours.
Yeah.
Then
well,
you're,
I am,
but I went
I
to
am,
bed at 4, but I sobered up before
I'm
bed.
I'm getting on the wagon tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I
wait,
am,
is that true?
Real?
Oh, I'm
yes.
sorry. I thought you were kidding. Oh.
Yeah, you do sobriety
true.
Breaks.
I do. And this one's going to have to be a long one. My liver numbers are not good. They're not terrible.
How many livers do you
have? I have elevated enzymes myself.
At this point, I've got one, and if my husband really loves me, maybe he'll give me his, because it's fine. And I've got to lose like 150 pounds stat, and so, you know, it's just time for me to develop a healthier...
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'll never drink or never drink
right,
again,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm in a place where, like, it's...
So
it's
what?
Not just drinking.
Cocaine? Is that
well,
where you're going?
Well, no, but that's the problem, that, you know, like, I've done cocaine, like, several times, you know, in the past... few weeks, you know, and I'm a fat man. That's not cool, you know. Like, but when you're on blood pressure meds, you shouldn't be doing cocaine.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and,
you know, it's better than doing cocaine when you're not on blood pressure meds.
Yeah, if
you
have high blood
pressure. That's true.
So maybe
then I'm like, well, do I take my blood pressure medicine now that I've been up all night, or do I wait? Do I need it? Do I want to make it go down? Yeah. Is that what causes it, or do I wait it out, or what do I do?
Do you want to come swim with me in the Gentilly pool? I can't make it to the other side.
Sure.
I can't do it.
Honestly, come on. I love that pool, man.
Benjamin's been trying to drag people into that pool like the clown from It.
Oh, successfully.
I swam there and I got depressed because I could not swim without stopping to the other side freestyle. I could breaststroke.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lap is back and forth and I couldn't go back before I went forth without stopping and just being
because
I couldn't breathe. And then Jeff was like, oh, it's upper body strength. And I sometimes when he says something, if I say anything about my body, Jeff has never said anything that you would be like, oh, what a stupid man thing. Mm-hmm. Everything he says is neutral and kind.
Yeah.
Just scientific. Neutral.
Yeah,
yeah, scientific. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, yeah, upper body strength. And I was like, I wouldn't be a problem if I was 130 pounds. I was like, it's because I'm 170 pounds. Like, I just turn into a fucking demon. And then he's like, okay. But like, if he was like, it's because you're 170 pounds, I would slit his throat and just like watch him bleed out. Sorry, I just saw a horror movie, so
It's also as I know people with much higher BMI who run marathons. Like you could do it if it's just cardiovascular. I mean,
it's cardiovascular. It's my lungs because I can run a 10-minute mile, which some people is like their slowest mile, and for me, I'm like really pushing it. But like I can run a 10-minute mile, so I know that like the equivalent of that is like you could swim a lap back and forth.
Yeah.
It's just that like I'm not used to it.
Yeah,
I hadn't done it. In years.
Dude, yeah.
Michael, you're pretty fast. You beat me in a race when we were drunk, but I'm pretty fast, and you handily beat me.
You know what? I want to say that as a 350-pound man, I can fucking move, too. Like,
yeah.
I have to. You know, I can do it.
I've seen you walk down Bourbon Street very fast.
Yeah. You're like, you think fast,
my way downtown.
I'm fast, man. I'm fast. It's all that cocaine, man. You know, but I actually have somebody, Ina, Ina Esther, who Corey Mack's wife.
The most in-shape woman in the fucking
she
world.
She comes over and walks me 3 times a week, so... Yes, she does. She'll be here there on Wednesday.
Oh, that's so sweet. That's extremely tender.
Well, I'm working with her. She's like, you got to do this whole healthier profile thing, and I really never look sexy. I want to look sexy, even though I'm in my 40s. You know, 40. You know, I just want to look good, and I want to feel good, and. You know, like as someone in their
40s,
you want
to feel good naked.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I mean, enough cocaine, you don't give a shit. You know,
right?
Yeah. But
that's the problem.
That's the problem.
I hate my body, and then I'm drunk, and I'm like, I'm so hot, and then I wake up the next day, and I'm like, I'm Ursula.
Right? Yeah. You know, like, and I just. You know, I'm not at a point where I'm like, and I've been to AA before. I think AA is great for a lot of people. It's not for me because I'm in there listening to people's stories. I'm like, oh shit, what am I doing here?
I've also been to AA and it is lame as hell.
Right.
Also, you're a good storyteller. So I imagine a lot of it's just being like, punch this up.
I'm the guy that when I talk, because the woman who brought me was like, you need to start talking. Because I was just going and listening. So I'm like, okay, I'll talk. And so when I would talk, I would just kind of, you know, be very positive. Like, I haven't drank in 3 weeks, and I feel fucking amazing. Yeah. You know, like, I'm getting shit done.
I don't know what y'all's problem is.
So, you know, you know, let's do this. And this other woman is like, my grandmother watched while my uncle molested me. And I'm like, oh, fucking A. Yeah. You know,
I want to, like...
Now doing I need this a drink. Wrong. Right, yeah, right. You know,
if you're ever, like, broke, but... you're trying to take somebody on a date, just take them to AA and tell them it's the moth.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, dude, free coffee, fucking donuts.
Who wants to tell a story?
Yeah.
We only have time for a certain number of people to tell a story.
I went to AA and I won.
Hey,
I'm now going to be on NPR.
Yeah, right.
I need a sober buddy during the week.
Okay.
I'm going to
be sober.
Yeah.
So I don't know that you'd find me fun. You'd find me fun to hang out with for a few days, and then it wouldn't.
No, we should do some sober buddy stuff because I don't need to necessarily stop drinking every weeknight, but I want to get on more of a every other night.
It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard unless you just say no.
That sounds awesome.
I mean, really. It's hard because I've done the thing where I've got like, oh, I've got a show this night, so I'll just drink this night, and then I've got three shows, you know, three gigs. I'm gonna drink just on those gigs, and then you know, and then you're all of a sudden in the stress of thinking about what nights you're gonna drink, what nights you're not gonna drink, because then when you want to drink on a night that you're not supposed to drink, you're stressed out. You know, you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
So you either just shit or get off the pot.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah, dude, I'm an all or nothing person. I can't, like.
I am too, but the idea of no alcohol for an extended period, there's too many things I want to do. Like,
just for today, MD.
I'm like, I cannot. I just can't, like, whenever I've had to take Flagyl, you have to stop drinking for 2 weeks and some change.
Is that a pill that hits you on the back with a whip?
Basically, it's a bacterial vaginosis.
How do you spell that?
Oh, wait, I think
F-L-A-G-Y-L.
I'm not getting any...
So are you currently flagellated?
No, I'm not currently...
Can you hear me?
If I was
Okay,
sorry.
There we go.
It acts as a... Is it in there? It acts as antabuse. It has the same reaction if you drink on it. If I were on Flagyl and drinking...
Am I still on?
This happened to a friend who we recently had on the pod.
What is Flagyl?
Flagyl is metronidazole, is like the, it's an extremely potent antibiotic that it's so potent. So it's really hard. Like what I'm not a doctor and I know nothing about science, but what it seems like is the further inside something is, the more strong the antibiotic has to be. So for like respiratory, stomach infections and pussy infections, you have to take really strong antibiotics, and Flagyl knocks out bacterial vaginosis, which like some people don't even notice that they have bacterial vaginosis. It's basically like your pussy smells like fish and sometimes it hurts.
Yeah. The bacterial vaginosis is the reason for the trope of the fishy.
The fishy pussy. Because right. So many women have it and don't realize it. And sometimes it mostly clears up on its own. And it's mostly not that bad. Now, when it is bad, it means it could become pelvic inflamed. What is it? Pelvic inflammatory disease.
PID. I like that she's looking at men. Like, what is this?
I had a gay gynecologist.
And a gay guy.
I had a gay gynecologist who I love so much. His name's Dr. Pieper. And I was worried I had PID because I'd had BV forever.
Yeah.
And then I was like, and he was like, his hand was like inside of me in a very, very professional way. But right. I was like, Do you think I could have it? It's like very tender. And he goes, oh no, sweetie. We call it he was like, it's the chandelier shatterer. Cause when you put when the doctors put their hands inside, the scream of the women could break a chandelier, he says. He was like, if you had pelvic inflammatory disease, we would have heard it.
Dr. Pieper got those analogies.
Yeah.
He's bringing the analogies. He's like, my name is so literal, I have to get better at figurative language.
My mom picked him because he's good at playing piano. He's a professional pianist, and she knows him and his husband. And she was like, he'll be great. He's gay. Like, she was like, I know you wanted a woman, but this guy's gay, and he's really good at playing the piano, and he's attractive. And I was like, you know what? I like my man gynecologist, so it's fine.
Can I tell you guys a gynecologist story?
Please.
In Lake Charles, there was this gynecologist who was...
I already don't buy it.
Right. He was found to have been like taking videos and pictures of women.
Oh,
and very inappropriate. He's in jail now, so
good.
You know, justice was served.
Right.
But...
No one wants pictures of mine.
When they when they came down on him... Well, that's the thing. When they came down on him... The police made women
identify
their own.
Oh no!
Oh no! I'd be like, I'm the hot one.
Well, that's what
hair.
I'm saying. Like, you know, it was the older lady who was like, you know, oh, that's mine.
Yeah.
And he's like,
I'm
ma'am,
the one
that's
with
an 18-year-old virgin. You know, like, and she's like, no, that's me.
That's it.
That's me.
No, yours is the one that looks like Frank Zappa. Right? We know. Yeah.
Man, we already have yours.
Yours is the one that's holding an air guitar.
You're showing it now. yes. Oh no, that's mine.
That's extremely
the pretty
funny.
One.
No, yours. That's a dreadlock. No, right. We know it's you. It's really a matching game.
I feel like in Lake Charles, at least one of them had to be bedazzled.
Oh, probably.
You mean vajazzled?
Oh, I forgot about vajazzling.
Mm-hmm.
Man, this was in the 90s too, so definitely.
I'm so terrified of getting. Even glitter inside of my pussy. I cannot imagine vajazz.
That's a realistic fear for you, though.
There's glitter everywhere. My car's covered in glitter. I tried to make it better, but...
The life-changing magic of sparkly twat.
Our whole driveway is covered in glitter, and, like, it's... so covered in glitter that it's gorgeous, but it's like a driveway full of like muddy water, and it's just like sparkling because it's really nice craft glitter from Jefferson Variety. And it exploded in my car after Mardi Gras.
Oh,
and when I say exploded, I mean there's a bunch of trash in my car, and I was rifling through the trash, and I like went like this, and it went, and I was like, oh fuck.
They say it's the herpes of craft, but it's really more like the Lyme disease, because like it actually is you experience it forever.
It's everywhere. You know. Well, my husband's a drag queen, and no glitter is a rule.
Oh, that is. Is it your rule or his rule?
My fucking rule.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want that shit anywhere. I've allowed boas.
What about glitter that like you can get in a rub on?
I don't want it. No.
Good for you.
Yeah, no glitter in my gay
not
house.
Not even a glitter. What about a glitter eyeshadow palette? What if it's in an eyeshadow?
I think he would probably do that without telling me.
Mm. And, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to
because
like,
it does get all over your... What,
you literally have glitter on your fucking forehead right now.
I bet I do.
Right. Move your head around so that it's like right around here.
Yep.
Yeah. It's probably all over me. The other day when we were getting our nails done... I really, really regret my.
I keep
all over me. Yeah,
it's like seeing a shooting star. Like everyone.
I love glitter. One time we were like just like fucking around, like being like goofy in bed, and Izzy threw glitter at my naked body, and it got all over my cock.
Oh,
and it was
no.
like, well, I guess now we just can't fuck for a week. Yeah. So, all right, cool. Yeah.
Coconut oil caused that.
Oh, really?
Caused that chandelier explosion.
But you just
explosion.
Start jerking off and just rub the glitter.
You know, I was already covered in coconut oil.
Is that a thing? Like
it gets glitter off.
Oh, does it?
Well, also, coconut oil gets everything.
But during sex,
it's such a great move. Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's nice.
And it tastes good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Coconut oil?
Coconut oil, I will allow.
Antimicrobial, they say. I've put it in my pussy before, but I think it made it worse because like it's moisture, like when I had a yeast infection, but I don't think it made it better.
Mack Weldon underwear is just made of coconut oil.
Wait, so by the way, I mean, we never really intro people, but our guest is Jeff D. How do you say your last name? Jeff Derwin?
Derwin. That's how the country fried people of Southwest Louisiana.
It should probably be Derouin or something.
Derouin. Right. Rouen. It's of Rouen. Rouen is where Joan of Arc was burned.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming my people were the poor French, like, no, that we weren't like, burn the witch. You know, that's what I'm hoping. But the way my relatives go, I don't know. You know?
Oh, like, I mean, they might have enjoyed the burning, but they didn't do it. Oh, man, I saw a good movie today, but it was really dumb.
What was it?
Brightburn.
Brightburn.
Oh, I want to see that.
Bad Superman. It was good. It was like, there was a 3-year-old next to me. I swear to God, this kid was 3 years old with his dad. And like, he loved horror movies. So you would think, oh, 3 years old, he wasn't watching. That's why the dad brought him. He was watching and commenting. He goes, I've already seen this scene before because it was a similar scene to earlier in the movie. And I was like, okay, but he's watching. Yeah. And he wasn't loud.
Did
he
use
good.
The word scene?
Yeah.
He did?
He did.
That's
and
a
he
smart
also,
kid.
Also during the Child's Play, during the child, there's a new Child's Play where Aubrey Plaza's the mom of like a 12-year-old, which makes me want to fucking kill myself.
No.
Like, yeah, give her like a flip hairdo and like, I don't know. It was I mean, like, Aubrey Plaza's younger than me.
Yeah.
God damn it. I hate Hollywood.
You know,
anyway.
Can we make a rule that if your kid starts seeing a doll is talking to them, just put it in the fire?
Yeah,
you know,
burn the doll.
Fucking fire.
But I feel like with
the
Chucky.
The kid, right?
Both. Yeah, just burn
kill them
together.
Both. Yeah, so in.
I see dead people.
Okay, well, then you're really going. To.
Yeah.
So wait, this movie
be
though.
One of them.
This movie, the mom. Oh man, I don't want to do spoilers because I actually recommend this movie. It has completely mixed reviews. I think it has like a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. And for a horror,
that's
movie,
not mixed reviews. That's horrible.
No, for horror movies, movies always do worse.
All right.
And so that's why my standards are like 50% is like good because most horror movies get like 30 or 40 or 13 because critics don't like horror movies.
Yeah.
And I think that they're starting.
They're all pussies like me who don't like to be scared.
Well, I liked this movie. I don't know what people were pissed about because like I read some of the reviews and I was like, I hate going to a bad horror movie because if I can't care about the characters, like if I don't care if you die,
right.
I don't care.
Right. But unless that's the point.
Unless it's the point. Right. Unless it's like, I really want you to die.
Like, I feel like that's how I'd feel in that movie Ma. I kind of want Octavia Spencer to kill all the
kids. Kill all the
kids.
Little kids.
Yeah, right.
You know? I wanted everyone in It Follows to die. I was like, you all fucking
I love that.
Suck.
I loved that movie too.
I loved it.
When
too,
the big guy walks into her bedroom or that bedroom and that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, that movie. Yeah.
It's great.
So fucking scary.
The idea that something's like coming after you slowly. You know, like.
No, that shit is a lot. And it was so low budget.
I may have mentioned that I don't like to be afraid.
Yeah. Well,
I'm afraid of everything.
A
horror movie to me is like.
I was sitting like this. I was sitting with my knees in my chest, and there was a 3-year-old where I would be like this, and then the dad would laugh and like point at the 3-year-old and be like, look at this bitch.
Yeah. Like, It's a Wonderful Life is a horror movie for me. Just like, he's so tall.
What if my life goes that way? You know, it was made by James Gunn.
Yeah.
Who's a good filmmaker.
Right. So, no, he's good. It was good.
Giving it a shot is not, you know, a bad thing. I think that everybody should. It's probably one of those movies that you're going to love or hate.
It's fucking gory. If you know how most horror movies, they spare you the things that you thought about in your own head, but you're like, if I see this portrayed on screen, I will fucking kill myself. Mm-hmm. He does those things. Like, it's gory.
Okay.
And it's gory in a way, I felt like it was like a pacing of like, do you ever think horrible things? No, like, what if I just took this shard of glass and put it inside my own asshole? Like, you just have those thoughts and you're just like, surely.
What if I chewed on this aluminum foil?
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. What if I, What if I jumped into that fire that's right by me? What if I jumped out of that window? Like, I think that all the time. What if I scream the N-word in this church?
Well, then you could have a one-man show called Sleepwalk with me.
I used to think, like, I was in church every day for years in Catholic school, and I was like, I could just ruin my life right now at 16 by just screaming cunt. Or, like, I thought about that every single time I was in a church. And I think about that whenever I'm around sharp things. Yeah.
Do you have, like, undiagnosed OCD? I just accused Sam of also having undiagnosed OCD yesterday.
No, if that's OCD, then I definitely have it. Just
no, I think that's normal, because I don't feel the urge. I just think about, like, man, I'm so close to doing that. What if I did?
And it's not an impulse. It's just a thought.
It's a thought. Know, it's, not, it's a scary thought.
You
have
to stop yourself.
Yeah. Right. Oh, no, I don't want to.
I have a full-on impulse. Yeah, anytime in like, at that's all, a like, a serious situation, I'm like, how can I
just, like, it's getting late. Yeah.
Yesterday, my friend was like, you know that thing when you're, like, a kid and you're like, I have to drink all the juice or my mom will die? I was just like,
oh, that's actually...
He deadass said something very similar to that. I don't remember what the thing was.
If he grew out of it, then it's possible he just had undiagnosed OCD. And if he said it was...
I think he grew out of it.
Because I also think when I was a kid, I was much more superstitious.
Very tidy, as Nell has told us.
I still think my parents are going to die, because the other day I was talking about my parents dying and I said knock on wood and didn't actually knock on wood.
Whoa.
Well, there's some wood right there. Wood right
That's, you're cursed. Knock on wood. All right.
Yeah. Unless you want the money.
Yeah. Knock on wood twice.
There you go.
For the time.
Unless you want
it.
The money? What is the money? I don't know this one.
I'm sure Mary
my inheritance?
Dupuis' parents own a house. Or, you know, you're going to get something. You might not get rich.
I really love
them.
And they already give me money. Yeah. They're paying for my wedding.
Right, well, there you go. Yeah.
But if they cut you off, then...
My parents were at
that's
this.
Not why I love them. They
She'll
don't
start
like,
knocking on particle
I pay
board.
My own bills and things. I'm just saying, like, I'm not worried. If I was like, I need money, my parents would help me.
Yeah. My parents were at this show I just did at this casino. And I was like, hold on, I have to go pay my tab. My mother was like, "What? Do you want me to pay it? You know, I said, no, Mom, I got it. She was like, are you sure? I can give you my card.
I'm right.
Like, so my parents are so sweet, too.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that they are Trump voters, you know, and I mean, like, I hear a lot. I don't mean to drastically change the subject, but
okay.
A lot of people are like, you know, I would love to have had the privilege of coming from a liberal household that raised me, you know, and thought the same way that I did, you know, but I don't have that. But what do you want me to do? Tell my sweet little mother, go fuck herself.
No, right.
You
know,
I agree. I mean, I'm the same way with. I mean, until Trump, my parents and I completely disagreed on everything politically. Yeah. And we still do disagree about politics. We just hate this one politician, and we now hate... My mom talks about the Republicans like she never voted Republican. And she did.
Being raised by people left of center is cheating. I've said this a million times.
Yeah.
That is cheating.
It's cheating.
You are cheating.
Right.
Yeah.
So
whatever,
I'm
happy to have cheated.
No, yeah.
No, it's not cheating. I mean, it's like...
It's cheating.
It's also... I think it's really hard not to love your parents if they, like, love you and are good to you. So the idea that you should just be like, fuck you, is a very online opinion.
Yes.
Because, like, yes, it is in line with if you have a belief, then you should follow that principle. Mm-hmm. And, like, if someone believes something that is violent and oppressive, then you shouldn't love them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand why, if someone's like, oh, you're a hypocrite, you can't really believe this if you still associate with your grandmother who, like, when she's flipping through the TV, if she sees three black people, she's like, I guess it's Black Night on TV. Like, and she's 89. And so, yeah, and she doesn't 90. Even, she doesn't even like Donald Trump. And she's that dude, racist.
Is there a Black Night? Because I'm going to tune in to Black Night.
On TV.
My
but I'm not, I used to say shit to her, but I'm just like, what is Shotzi doing? She doesn't even vote Republican anymore. And she barely votes, and she, like, doesn't do anything in the world. She can't drive. Mm-hmm. She has to be escorted everywhere.
She just hates.
I like, say something to her, but it's like, I don't want to, like, because I know if I just stopped talking to her, she would die soon anyway, and I would just be sad that I didn't spend time with her.
Right.
So. Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Last night, I got into an argument with my sweet Grammy, who's 90, and it was about Donald Trump. And, you know, I said, well, you know, she was like, well, what is, because I'm like, why do you like him? What has he done for you? Mm-hmm. You know, and she couldn't answer that, of course. You know, and then I talked about separating the kids at the border. She said, that didn't happen. And I'm like, yes, it did. It happened. And then she, Nancy Pelosi came on screen and Grammy goes, well, I don't like her. And I said, well, why don't you like her? What has she done? What has Nancy Pelosi done to you? You know, well, she's trying to impeach Trump. I said, no, she's actually the only one. Not trying to.
Yeah, she's really not.
She's right. Really not.
But it just occurred to me, you know, my grandmother is fundamentally ignorant
right.
about what is
and
really happening
out there. And she refuses to become less ignorant.
And she, yeah, but she's 90. Who right. am I to say, it's you need to check into all these issues. Yeah. What I need to do is just not talk about fucking politics if with I'm my Grammy.
Yeah.
If I'm still you know, learning at 90, put me dinner. Down.
And I also don't expect, like, I think it's one of those weird things where I know Benjamin's probably pissed at this whole conversation, but I don't know.
No, because no, I don't think that you should, like, immediately, like, write these people off.
Right.
Personally, I just don't think these are the people that you have to...
change.
Well, like, yeah, spend any time with, like, trying to convince them that they're wrong.
Oh, not Grammy. Or, no.
Like, I just think that's a waste of energy, and rather than trying to, like, fundamentally change people mm-hmm. that you disagree with, you should out-organize them and
right.
get anyone who's like relatively on your side but apathetic to be more engaged.
Right.
I agree with it because it's not hard to out-organize
and
my
90-year-old
grandmother.
And I also think that the problem is that if you are, and this has been my problem sometimes, like I do think that the problem is if your family ties go against you doing meaningful, and I've never wanted to do meaningful work to like
you work at
political
a school.
Work.
Oh, political.
It's a charter
work.
I mean, okay. Anyway.
Charter school, listen, I worked for charter schools too. They're not all the demonization of charter schools is I don't think completely accurate.
I went to a
there's
good
no
one.
Accountability.
The freedom for teachers.
There's
is,
no accountability.
Can be positive.
I mean, I'm gonna tell you like oh man, I don't want to say too much yeah. just in case someone from school does yeah. listen to it.
I understand.
But a lack of accountability and a lack of a standardized over, like, just not even talking about how it affects the kids. Because, like, if you go to any of the charter schools that are performing well, it's a lot of white kids. And if you go to any of the ones that are performing badly, it's a lot of black kids. And, of course,
well,
there are other races. Yeah, but that's the thing. It always was New Orleans. But now we're, like... actively dismantling, like when we actively dismantle a school because it has a poor ranking, we're not helping those kids.
There's also no community oversight.
There's no, exactly. If there's no oversight, then we have no way to, I think that it is the reason Betsy DeVos likes charter schools. I think there are reasons that people who have been in Louisiana their whole lives like charter schools because they saw how corrupt the public school system was.
Right.
And a lot of people who are transplants don't want to address that and they just act like public schools would be good if we just went, no, we have public schools. No, it was corrupt because there was not enough money and there was not enough oversight of the...
Not enough money is the key.
Not enough yes. money. It's property values paying for education is ridiculous.
So
the
right.
school board was deeply corrupt. There was a lot of corruption in Louisiana, and that cannot be discounted. And, like, a lot of people don't want to admit that a lot of people who were... Anyway, like, and a lot of the teachers weren't great. And a lot of people don't want to say that, but the reason the teachers weren't great was because of lack of resources.
And I also just want to say that, like, I went to a public charter school, changed my life. Best thing I ever did. But charters, like, and there are plenty of really good charters across the country. The problem is not that it's impossible for there to be a good charter. It's the fact that school choice in general means some people get fucked. Most people
right.
get fucked.
Yeah.
Most people don't get to go to those schools.
And that's why Betsy DeVos likes it. That's why, I'm just saying, like, that's why wealthy
well,
people with yachts
DeVos,
care about public education versus charter schools.
Betsy DeVos specifically
yeah.
likes it because, like, her and Eric Prince and that whole family of fucking ghouls is trying to turn, like, the entire education system into, like, a
for-profit
military
business.
Christian mm-hmm. fucking training ground.
Yeah.
I mean, also, charters find ways to get rid of students they don't want.
Yeah. Wasn't there just a study put out about that?
Like, I have no idea. I mean, for years, like every time you see a charter school that makes headlines for having high-performing students, it's because they have failed. They have gotten rid of every student that was not performing.
Well, there were teachers fighting to get rid of a third.
Like expulsion.
I'll talk about something.
Yeah, no, we don't have to keep talking.
The school I worked for, who I'm not going back to work for, so it doesn't really matter. They did a lot before they attempted to expel mm-hmm. a student, mm-hmm. you know, it. And so I think when you are servicing a very challenging population inside of a school, when I say population, I mean, so I worked at alternative schools as mm-hmm. well, you right. know, like, and
you're not just saying black kids.
No,
you're
saying I'm not saying black kids.
You know, exceptionalities, like, IEPs,
lots yeah. of IEPs, right. lots of, you know, it's hard mm-hmm. to
you're under supported,
right? And so at some point you have to say, well, what do I do? Do I choose? We have tried everything. We have, you know, tried every possible thing we can. And so, do we choose the other kids and their education, or do we continue to let this kid disrupt? And so mm-hmm. while I know that there are a lot of statistics that show that problematic kids are expelled as opposed to being dealt with, mm-hmm. but as someone who taught in inner city New Orleans for 8 years, I can tell you that that's a longer road than what you just read about. Mm-hmm. I know, not in all cases, but mm-hmm. in some cases, you know, it's like, God damn, how do you keep a kid who kicked a window out in the office?
No, yeah, I mean, you know, we've had kids...
brought a gun to school. This is somebody we need to keep here? You know what I mean? Like,
we have kids that aren't, like, anyway.
I'm not, like, again, like...
You're still employed.
I completely... believe that y'all did everything in your power. Like, the existence of good functional charter schools is not necessarily an argument for charter schools in general.
Right, because they're individual good schools.
I mean, or Bill Gates is routinely held up as an example of, like, that's like a good billionaire who, like, behaves
and
right.
Warren Buffett,
if only
yeah.
we could get all billionaires to behave like Bill Gates, then it'd be fucking fine. These are charter organizations. What I'm talking about with regard to, like, expelling undesirable students for the sake of like getting your numbers up, I'm not talking about y'all. I promise you. There are charter organizations that, like, make their...
You're talking about the systemic, like, version of...
Yeah, I mean, but, yeah, there are charter organizations that deliberately fuck their numbers. Like, a lot of them do because
also,
there's a lot of...
Also, there are kids that, never get better. There are kids that never get better because they are approached... And it's honestly not even that. I feel like I have so much I want to say, but
you're too close.
Do not get fired.
It's
for
also
this
a bigger
podcast.
Problem than
yeah.
to just
Wait, what?
Lay it.
I said, don't get fired for this podcast. Right.
Yeah, but I don't think I would get fired because I think that, like, most people. I'm trying to think of what they would agree with or not, because I think that, like, we do a lot. Most of the people do a lot of woo woo stuff. Like, it's not like people are hitting kids or profiling kids. I mean, a lot of the kids that have exceptionalities are white kids who are middle class or upper middle class, because we have a school that, you know, isn't.
It's French.
It's French, yes. Right. And so when you see things happening to white upper middle class kids that are that you usually see happening to poor black kids, you realize that, like, it's not that those people who do those things to poor black kids are necessarily, they might be. It's not that they necessarily hate black people. It's that those things hurt the poor black kids more.
Well, here's the real deal. It is... A losing battle when you expect teachers and administrators to deal with issues that pretty much come from their home life mm-hmm. and from where how they
right.
live.
When you talk to a parent
and
that's like, "Don't worry, I'm going to beat the shit out of my kid."
Right, right,
and
if you do expect teachers and administrators to do anything else besides teach, mm-hmm. which is their fundamental job, you're going to need a hell of a lot more money.
Right.
Because you're going to need different kinds of experts and just numbers of staff there to actually do something.
And
if you really want to solve the problem,
right.
you need a hell of a lot more
money. And the way that works is you don't have it you don't have it based on test scores. You don't have it based on performance. You just fucking give schools money and resources.
You don't treat schools and just like a
throw
chain
it the
store.
Fuck out there. Exactly. Yeah. It's not about. It shouldn't be about performance.
Performance. That's ridiculous.
That's why. You know, when you're a teacher, you have to teach to a test.
Right.
Your creativity and if is only within what it is you have to be teaching right now, because the state says this is the most important thing.
That's insane.
And I think that there has to be. You can't just have teachers doing whatever the hell they want, because most teachers aren't good enough for that.
Well, or I just think that I think $45,000. I think $45,000 a year for someone who works 8 hours or 8 hours a day.
But they don't
is good.
Work 8 hours
that's,
a day.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. So I think that if you had enough support staff, that teachers had time during their planning periods to like
if they get one.
Yeah, right. To plan. I mean, our teachers complain because their planning period isn't long enough, but they do have planning periods. If you don't get a planning period, then you're absolutely limit working 60 hours a week, and that's not even taking into account the paperwork you'll have to do.
When Izzy was teaching, she was working 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like when I taught, I had what they call preps. So if you're a teacher, and let's say you teach different kinds of class. So you're a history teacher, but you teach two classes of seniors, one class of juniors, and one class of sophomore. So that means you have four preps. And if you have four different types of classes you have to prepare for prep, one planning period is not enough.
No, that's ridiculous. Know?
So,
yeah.
We need...
How many hours
more
a week
money.
Did you work when you were a teacher?
Oh, you mean before I got lazy, or because
when you
that,
started
that last year? When I started, I used to wake up in the middle of the night having anxiety attacks because I was working so much, staying at the school till 7 o'clock at night most nights, and if I wasn't there, I'd take all my papers to a bar and grade at a bar, and I had to have my lesson plans in. So my best year teaching was my last year, is because I said fuck all this.
Yeah,
most of the kids got an A. If you could stay awake in my fucking class, you got a fucking A. That's all. And I told them that I was like, if you stay awake, I'm going to give you an A. And I'll tell you what, more kids
I will give you cocaine.
Yeah.
The kids learn more in that class.
If you feel like you're worthless, feel like you're worthless and you already know you're going to fail a class, why the fuck would you pay attention?
Right.
But if, like,
if there's no stakes, you might be like, oh, Mr. D's really funny. What'd they call you?
Mr. D.
Mr. D. They'd be like, Mr. D's funny as fuck. Why have I not been listening to him? That's how I was in classes where I could tell I was going to.
Is that what Carlo calls you?
Yeah. Well, in bed.
If I had under a C in a class.
Mr. Professor D.
I called Carlos for so long.
Everyone.
One thing Susanna hates is when I call myself Mr. Baby or Uncle Daddy.
Yeah. I wonder
those
why.
Those are the two names that
why
I get.
Why doesn't she love that?
Do you get gross with it? Like, Uncle Daddy wants some kitty cat. You know?
Yeah, dude, I will say anything to make her cringe. It's like, the way that you guys feel when you make people laugh, that's how I feel when I make Susanna cringe.
Yeah, Jeff does that. Like, today we walked in from the movie and he said he was about to go poopy, and I was like, kill yourself.
See, in my relationship, people would assume that I'm the disgusting one, but it's Carlo. Carlo is very gross and just like, you know, I want you to spit on me, and he loves my titties.
But when you're actually
has he ever titty fucked you?
You do have
he
amazing. Wants, tits.
I won't let him. Thank you. Thank you.
You posted that picture of your tits, and I was like,
"Dwarf photo."
I know they were. They look like my tits. We have the same shape tits.
Nice.
I always like was self conscious about my tits. Me and Abby also have the same shape tits. And hers are bigger, but like we've always been self-conscious because they like are mostly nipple and they just like look down like they're like sad eyes. Mm-hmm. But then when they're hard, they look good because they're like
right. It's like
tits look like normal, God's judging.
It's like a normal headlights versus brights kind of thing.
Exactly. But when they're hard, the nipple's in the center and not below the boob.
Yeah.
And so then they look good. Yours hard look like my tits hard.
Well, I've been growing up, I've had these tits since I was in middle school, and I mean the bigger I've gotten, the bigger they've gotten. But I'll always have them. Some version of them.
I agree with all these things for myself.
Right. You know, and I was made fun of so much that at some point I was just like, fuck it, I have to accept these things and love them.
Well,
so,
they're not. Yeah. It's just that, like, you know,
And my husband's like, "Ooh, look at these titties." You know, like, I can't walk around naked because he attacks them, you know. So, ladies,
how
I know
does he
how
attack
it?
He grabs them?
Grabs them or just sucks on it
does
real
he do
quick.
This?
Oh, yeah. He like bumps them and, you know, like he'll play with them. He's like, "Oh, baby, they're in full blossom. Look at these beautiful things." You know, like, and Michael.
I'm so boring sexually. That's why I talk about sex all the time.
You
I'm
want
just,
Beto
like,
O'Rourke to slap you in the face.
That's true.
I don't, you know what? And that's why I'm not into Beto, because I think he's a lot meaner, angrier, and nasty than what he is fucking. This whole.
That's what turns
like
on Mary Devon.
I would like to apologize for what I said or for the story that I wrote.
If Beto's personality were different, if Beto's personality were different, would you like him?
Well, I don't.
Is it Beto
all,
or
I
Beto?
Like Beto. Beto. I don't know. I like O'Rourke. I like him as a person. I think that he's.
Do you also want to have sex with him?
Kind of. You know, but let me tell you something. When Elizabeth Warren got into this race, I was like, there's no fucking way. She is crazy. But the more she talks and the more I listen to her, I've always liked her.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe this bitch gonna pull this shit off. Mm-hmm. You know, like I really like her.
This podcast is a
Warren neutral to positive.
Yeah. Warren is the only.
Besides
if
Bernie,
she fucking
Warren's the only one I like.
Medicare for All, which I can't believe.
Her Medicare for All
she's
opinion
really,
is just Obamacare.
She's just saying
Obamacare.
How can you position yourself this far left of. Like the Democratic Party for.
She's
like,
already alienated everyone.
For
who,
so long who, and still like. Be like, I think we need to means test Medicare. It's
right.
Like,
yeah, but Ben, here's what you should know about
on.
Her. Here's
but she's already alienated anyone. Well,
we have to make every cancer patient apply for 2 jobs a week. That's my.
Here's the thing. If she.
Three. You have to apply for three.
You think
three.
That if there were a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate and they passed bills for Medicare for All. She would sign them.
Oh, she would sign.
You know
for
what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's all you need to know. You know, like,
well,
as president,
as a
really
as a platform,
you know,
like,
if you're
matters
setting
because
the agenda.
That is, like, a way that people catch on to things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it's not. My whole thing is, like, I want the presidential candidates to stop being afraid to get mean. You know,
I want them
to get
fangs.
Mean.
Yeah.
I want Beto O'Rourke.
That's why Trump.
I want them to stop being polite and start being
that's
real.
Why Trump's fun to watch. Whenever I do watch him, I'm like, I can't watch this because it's like when I was little, the first thing I snuck watched was Howard Stern, and I was like, this guy's such
this
an asshole.
So much about you.
I was like, this guy's such an asshole, but I like that he's such an asshole.
I snuck watched the Scrambled Playboy Channel.
Yeah. I also watched Hookers at the Point, which is probably why I come to being abused.
Yeah. I never had to sneak watch. Because
there were
anything.
Naked
people. That's not about basketball.
Hookers at the Point.
It was a documentary about like exploited sex workers.
It was a series.
Yeah.
It was a documentary
series.
Came on right
that I watched
sex,
when I was 9 because my parents were alcohol. Oh, real sex fucking raw.
I used to jack it.
Real sex raw.
I used to fucking videotape like just shit we never returned to like the store.
Mm-hmm.
Just like real sex. At my friend's house. We didn't even have HBO, so I would go over to my friend's house and record it, record like real sex, and then go home and like jerk it to like an old man playing with his balls.
Oh, yeah. I love the one where they I still have a fantasy where like a bunch of people just like masturbate me, because I saw some old lady have that happen to her when I was little, and I was like, I've never had sex and I don't know where my vagina is, but this is great.
It's always just some ponytail man in the woods like leading people through a journey.
That's why we're all so fucking weird sexually, because our first sexual.
You could be that guy. Like,
I will be that guy. Yeah.
The guy on the mountain who's naked with everyone, you're like, well, I show couples how to have better sex by fucking both of them. You know, like that.
How old are you?
Some weed,
how old were you when you lost your virginity?
When I lost my virginity? In what way? Like in my mouth or in my butt? Or what are you
when
talking
you
about?
Consider, when you were like, that was sex.
First time I really had sex was 19.
Hey, me too. Yeah. Wait, no, that's not true. I was 17, but that was... And then there was a long... Whatever.
I fooled around in other ways, but penetration happened when I was 19.
Because, I mean, you kind of know when you know. Yeah. Like, I feel like I had...
If you don't know, now you know.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's what it's like to get fucked. All right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it was obvious because it was, like, penetrative sex that lasted for literally 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But I was like, this is definitely penetrative sex. And that... But, like, I think that with like my first kiss, I kissed a bunch of boys before I like had a first kiss where I had butterflies, and I count that as my first kiss. So yeah, I just ignore the gross boys.
My first kiss was with a girl in the seventh grade, and she turned out to be a lesbian. But but we actually kind of dated all through high school. She fucked everybody else but me. I remember we kissed at Skate City. We kissed by like making a mint go back and forth.
Oh, yes!
Dude. And then she broke up with me like 2 weeks later. She was like, you know, she didn't break up with me. She just started dating someone else.
You know,
else.
Like I wanted you for your titties.
Right.
It's like the worst Mentos commercial of all time.
Right. But I was like, and I was in the seventh grade, and I was just like, are you kidding me? Do you understand what we did together? How important that was?
We might have a baby.
Right, yeah. Like, you know, so my whole what is sex, what is so fucked up,
right,
you know.
Right.
I know it now because, you know, if it's not with my husband, I'm paying for it. So, you know.
Jeff is on his second tall boy of Michelob also.
Yeah.
And there's more in the fridge.
Oh,
for him,
okay.
Not you.
So you're just
one.
First.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can have.
No. You brought it.
Yeah. You got to drink
you.
It.
I drink
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
All right. They're like 25 ounces. So if I drink all three, it's like drinking a 6-pack.
Perfect.
Yeah, but Michelob Ultra is like 100 calories, so it's like 600 calories. That's not bad.
See, my problem is that I'll drink like 2,000 calories worth of Michelob Ultra because I'm a raging alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I do this.
Yeah, and then after that, I'll go and get like a Big Mac meal from McDonald's. So I've ingested like 18,000 calories for the day. You know?
Approximately.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, I mean, like, the woman who comes and walks me, you know, she says that even if I just stopped drinking and still ate Big Mac meals, I would lose weight. You know? So that's a problem.
Dude. You should try intermittent fasting where on one day a week you drink 50 Michelob Ultras and eat 8 Big Macs and then you just don't eat the rest of the week.
That would just lead to more Ultra and Big Macs. I've tried this. You know,
man, I found these little crackers that...
Dude, a podcast. We have names.
Hell yes.
It's 50 calories every 9 crackers. And they're extremely thin. They're as thin as communion wafers. So the other night when I was really drunk and high, I was trying to dip them in peanut butter. And they kept breaking. So I was just digging chips, digging crackers, and just eating them off my hand.
Like a bear.
Like a bear. Like
Winnie the Pooh.
Like a bear who just tore down some tents.
And I ate half the container. And I'm like, surely I would not have eaten... Like, surely I've eaten the same amount of calories that I would have eaten if I just had normal crackers.
Right.
But, like, when I look at a package, knowing how I am when I'm high and knowing that I have weed in my house and alcohol, but, like, especially if I'm drunk and high, like, it's over for you hoes. And you hoes is my own body.
Right.
And
I love that she won't talk about her school, but she's, like, all on, yes, I'm extremely intoxicated and watch me do these drugs.
And I have to look at a package when I'm sober and be like, okay, so if I eat this whole thing, how many calories is that? I'm like, 450? We can swing that. That's why I get the low-calorie things, because I'm like, I'm going to eat the entire package.
Yeah.
But I probably should just work on having self-control, because I don't think it's necessarily the calories from the alcohol. I think it's also what I eat when I have alcohol.
I think my sister is traumatized because every time there was like any cardboard box with 6 things in it,
mm-hmm.
I would eat all 6 in one sitting. Gushers, fucking Dole, popsicles.
The individually packaged ones. That's makes me feel so dirty when I eat more than 2.
Paula Poundstone has a great bit about that. I don't know. Is she problematic? I don't know.
No, I love Paula Poundstone.
She was for a while.
Wait, what'd
though,
she do?
But, well, there was some kind of.
I don't know if you could be on NPR.
Thing, and yeah, I think she got.
Okay.
Oh, no.
It was found not guilty or something.
The Me Too movement is dog shit.
Well, this was before that. But yeah. But fuck you. I like Paula Poundstone.
Me too.
Well, she's got this whole thing about Pop-Tarts. You know, like, you know how she talks with the Pop-Tarts. And she says, you know, like, when you open the package, you eat one Pop-Tart, but you're like, oh, look, there's, you know, a whole Pop-Tart here. The package is already open. I better eat that one. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oh, there's 3. In the box, so I can't leave 3.
I don't like odd numbers.
Right, you know, and so she, you know,
and then you get to 2, you're like, I don't like primes.
Right, yeah, you know, and so she eats the box of Pop-Tarts.
I ate so today Jeff and I split a popcorn and we were just fighting for it
Pop
in the
tart,
movie.
Popcorn?
Popcorn. Popcorn. In the movie. And he would like go to reach and I'm dominant. I'm the dominant one in the relationship. So he would just revoke his hand.
Oh man, yeah. I went to a movie with Jeff when we went to Atlanta and until right before the movie started, we were the only people in the movie theater. And we had popcorn, and we were like, wouldn't it be hilarious if it was just us two and we still did the popcorn trick? Just two men alone in a movie theater, still sucking each other's dicks through a box of
popcorn. Popcorn trick, because I was like digging in the bottom of the popcorn, and I was like, I could try to touch Jeff's penis, but I was right next to a child, so I didn't.
The first time I ever received oral sex, I was at a party, and everyone left but me and this person, and... And we were both petting the same cat, and our hands met on the cat.
That's amazing.
Isn't that funny?
Nice. And then you pulled your dick out?
Did y'all have sex?
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Full on?
Oh, no, this is good. This is good. And then after she came, she went, there, that wasn't so hard.
Well, when you did the pronoun,
was she talking about your dick?
No, she was like, she could tell that I was nervous. And she was like, you know what, dude, chill. Good job, buddy. You know, it was very, like, very, it was very maternal.
There. That wasn't so hard.
We've been together a long time. Carlo and I have been together for 10 years, and his behavior at movie theaters just really pisses me off. Like, first of all, he's bad at spoiling the movie for people who are waiting in line for the movie. Like, you know, he walks out, you know.
Dude,
he's
fuck
like,
that. Yeah, I know. Fuck that.
He's like, I can't believe Han Solo died, you know. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me, Carlo? Shut the fuck up.
Like, Han Solo's in Spider-Man?
Right, right,
what?
Right. And people are looking at me like I'm a piece of shit because I'm like, shut the fuck
up.
Yeah,
because you haven't killed
husband,
him yet.
You know, right.
Yeah.
But like, when he gets popcorn, he molests the popcorn. He puts his hand in and like just kind of, you know, like fingers the popcorn. And I'm sitting there. Well, but I'm waiting to put my fat hand in there. And I'm like, will you fucking hurry up with the goddamn popcorn? So I'm going to look like an asshole because I'm yelling at my husband, you know, in the middle of the movie theater. You know,
the idea.
I don't know how to communicate effectively and positively with Carlo yet. You know,
how long have y'all been married?
Well, we've been married for 5.5 years. We've been together for 10. So
wow.
10 and a half.
The idea of a hand covered in butter reminds me that the first lube used.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Papa John's comes with the garlic butter.
No.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck.
No. You wasted garlic butter on your stupid little baby penis? That's horrible. I would have eaten that.
Wait, for real? Garlic butter?
Deadass, dude. Yes.
What?
Yep.
You jerked off. Did you get it in your pee hole?
Sounds delicious
to me.
Oh,
for your own dick? Or
for my own? No, not for another poor woman's who
he was 17 years old.
A UTI and BV all at the same time. That's called the Grand Slam where I come from.
The virginity conversation, we use shaving cream.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I definitely jerked off with shaving cream before.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I remember.
Like the gel or like the Barbasol? Like
Barbasol.
Yeah,
foam, like the white.
Wait, not the aloe though, because that was it. The aloe, aloe's rough on the twang.
Really?
The twang.
I'll say this: it's okay for the asshole.
I need to spit on my face.
It's okay for the asshole.
Noted. Yeah.
Got to cool
it
down.
Wait, the shaving cream.
A little cooling.
Yeah, a little bit too much spicy food. You know,
and it was my first time, if it was gonna hurt, that would be the time.
Yeah.
He was hung, so
your asshole's too grizzled. If you didn't get some sort of weird skin reaction,
it wasn't grizzled. It was amazing.
Not
from dicks, just from the sun.
I would describe mine as grizzled, even though
right.
My asshole is so sensitive. Like I can't use the bidet at full speed. I tried to do the enema thing. It hurts my asshole too bad.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I like a good pounding there. Like I mean, like me too. With water. Like if I want it clean.
Every time I've
I'm a fat guy.
Wait,
so
do you
I'm
also
really,
have
like,
a bidet?
I don't have a bidet, but I pucker that after the shower. You know, for sure.
Yeah, but the shower. I do that in the shower too. I do this, and I like open my butt cheeks and make sure I like.
Yeah.
But I'll get in there. Like I'll stick fingers in there.
No, I do too. You get the soap in the
clean.
No. I'm
you
got to
stick
it in the. You get in the wrinkles and you get the stuff out.
You get in the wrinkles.
It has wrinkles. The little. You know what I'm talking about?
Mine's perfectly smooth.
Yeah,
that's probably why it doesn't.
That's why I have a. IBS is because my entire intestines are just smooth,
hanging
just
out,
lubed up, and it's like a chute.
Yeah, they're gonna just all come out at some point. We call that prolapse.
Yeah.
You know, like the like marble sets or whatever, when it goes down one just like perfectly straight. Well, that's my asshole. It's just like.
So speaking of pride, I was. Let's talk about the gun guy.
Oh, Jesus.
Cops will always defend.
Wait, so did he? Shit, he had guns on the naked bike ride, right?
Well, that was his. Okay, so let's first say this. Apparently, this guy was not planning on mass shooting anybody. Yeah. Like he was just being a look at my guns guy, you know, and having
to put
fun.
The fear of fucking God.
Right, but if you think so, naked bike ride, whatever. But if you think that having guns anywhere close to a gay pride parade
in the South
is a good idea, what the fuck? Unless your guns are pink, naked, and you have a sign that says "Guns for Gays" on you, like
Totally go off topic, you say in the South, but like. Look at fucking Detroit. Fucking Nazis showed up armed with fucking police escorts to a goddamn pride parade.
I mean, I've thought about having a gun. One of my women's studies professors who was obsessed with horror movies slipped in one pro-gun statement and then never mentioned it again. But we were talking about rape. And she was just like, or buy a gun and shoot him in the head. Right. We were just like, what? June? It was June Pulliam.
I think that
she's nutso.
I think that I have.
We watched Fight Club in her stupid class. She's such a dumb bitch. Hey, June Pulliam, you dumbass goth old bitch who worked at LSU. You're the dumbest bitch in the world.
Yeah, I vaguely
Fight Club
remember.
Is a great movie, though.
For women's studies, I was 22.
For women's Chuck Palahniuk for women's studies.
Yeah, for women's studies.
You also read Bukowski.
It's about like the exactly. It's like we just want to know what they're saying. It's what the fuck are we doing? Yeah. I don't know. It was just so dumb. I was like, I've seen Fight Club. I've read Fight Club. I tried to fuck boys in 2003. Like I know. I know.
I've watched people skateboard.
None of them could get hard because we were all 14. That is actually true. The first two boys I tried to have sex with could not get their dicks hard.
Hell yeah.
14,
dude, you had
my dick soft.
I know. I was thinking like
you
really,
have BCE, you know.
Oh, before Christ energy.
Big clit energy.
Yes. Also before Christ energy.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm babbling.
She's got that stone age.
But there are feminists who say the same thing. They're like, "Yeah, pro-gun feminist bullshit." And I'm just like, "There will always be more men murdering us than if every woman got a gun." Also, sorry, like obviously gender is not binary and a lot of people who were born in a certain body do not identify as the assigned gender to that body, but like in general, cis women are not as strong as cis men. So even if we were all just as trained in guns, cis men would have an advantage. Like it's y'all are, I feel like that is a controversial opinion, which is ridiculous that like men are stronger than women. They are like, right. Cis men are stronger than cis women on average, and a lot of cis women are stronger than cis men because some are born that way and some can do things to change it. But like on average, as a society, like no matter what, men are going to have a physical advantage.
Men are stronger too, usually because they have testosterone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, right. Like, yeah. You know, no, exactly. Like, none of it means that on an individual basis, those things won't change. But I'm just saying the idea that like women can ever be safe from having guns, because if all of us had guns and all men still had potential to have guns, then like men are still stronger than we are. I don't know. I just think it's
to me the idea.
I don't think
lots
that
of guns is safer than no guns is fucking stupid. You know,
no guns.
But I also live in the real world, and I know that we're never going to get rid of the Second Amendment. That in America, it's not going to happen. You know, like
the dumbass Constitution.
Not my lifetime. So what I prefer is when I put out a statement like, you know, leave your guns at home. You know, this is scary for people in a parade, you know, like, and people are like, well, open carry, blah, blah, blah. I am comforted by the gun owner who says, absolutely, that's a bad idea.
Yeah.
I mean, never do that. And I, you know, if I carry, it's never around something like that or, you know.
But
like,
what's the, and I agree.
The worst kind of gun owner is a proud gun owner.
Well, I mean, like,
if you have a gun and you shut the fuck up about it,
no one will know that you have a gun.
I kind of trust you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even if you're a proud gun owner, just like have some fucking empathy and like it's not illegal to rev your engine at a pedestrian as they cross the fucking crosswalk, but it sure does put the fear of fucking God in
you.
Yeah. Just like it.
It's
you're no one's going like, oh, that man is exercising his rights. They're going, oh, that man, there's like a statistically significant chance that guy's going to murder me.
Right.
Which is like, why do that to someone?
I don't.
Which, whatever, preach to the choir.
I have to say, though, but like, people in New Orleans have such big dick energy in crosswalks.
Oh my God!
Dude,
New Orleans. Dude, that is literally 10 times faster. That what you just did is
right.
Hell yeah.
Like, I dare you to fucking hit me.
I fucking love it. I was like, yeah. I tweeted something that got, I was so nervous because it got retweeted by like, I mean, I'm obviously talking about old black men, but like, right. But yes. Like old white men do it too.
Black and women do it too.
Yeah.
I think it's a class thing more than it's a race thing. Like, I think that it's just like one of the few. Like, if there's a fucking Lexus
it's
coming
a
down,
neighborhood thing.
If there's a Lexus coming down Claiborne, one of the few things that you could do to just fucking twist their nipples is just walk slowly in front of them.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Fucking kill you? It's going to ruin their life.
It's going to ruin their life.
Also, if you kill them, their family will be wealthy. You know, like, because between your insurance and the other civil.
It's an honor suicide.
Yeah. You know, we get in our house. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you, Lexus man from Lakeview. You know?
As a person who's a Honda CR-V lady in Lakeview. Yeah, I often am just like, I live in Gentilly, but wait, what do you mean by choice? Where I live?
I was making fun of you for being rich.
Yeah, what do you say?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Are you rich?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not personally rich.
She is? Yeah.
No,
yeah,
not personally.
She and Jeff have a nice house. I know that. You know, like, I've seen the...
Right. No,
do you own it or do you rent it?
Yeah.
But I did get a DUI. No one got me out of it. I know girls that have gotten 5 and never went to jail. So I will say, there's a limit.
Yeah,
I mean, I could probably, my parents could pay my rent for a couple of months, but that would be about it. Maybe Grammy could help me out a little bit. My grandfather was a judge, so he left her not rich, you know, but very comfortable. So I mean, like, I don't know what's it like to.
Yeah, that's
have that.
My family doesn't talk about money that explicitly. And it just appears. Right. So that's how you know, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm like about to finish paying off a $3,000 loan that my mom gave me because I was a fucking idiot and got into credit card debt. And I was just like, she was just like, just don't pay interest on it. I'll pay it and then pay
you
back.
Oh, that's nice. So, yeah, that's better than
If you're paying it back, though, that's still like...
Well, but I mean, it's the availability.
You had that available to you, yeah.
I didn't have to pay fucking 20%, 23% APR, whereas anyone who didn't have that... And that is huge. That is like...
It's huge, but it is like a... huge jump from people who would just be like, oh, fucked up, mom, and then they like completely take care of it.
But it's like, it's almost like an aesthetic thing,
right?
Where it's like,
do
it's
you
like,
have that, Benjamin? Can you like, no. Would oh, no, you be no, able no. to get like $5,000 from a parent?
No, my parents are so terrible with money.
My parents,
well, I mean,
are
I don't mean to laugh at
wedding.
That, but like, you know.
No, they're, yeah, it is kind of funny because they're very smart, but so bad with money.
The reason
and
I'm very.
Because they can't communicate with each other around money.
Yes.
So they don't ever know what's going on with it.
Right.
It's pretty hilarious.
Are you going to Pete? You can give me my other beer.
I will do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
How long does this go? Like 4 hours?
Yeah, I mean, if you need to be anywhere, that's
fine. I'm going to get drunk tonight for the last time, so, you know.
Hell yeah.
Where are you going to go get drunk?
700 Club, you want to come?
Can I come in this?
Yes! Gay Pride's over, bitch.
No, I have work at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
So? It's early. Just saying.
If you could see MD's face, you could see the temptation.
Y'all come on.
Her eyebrows did like a thing that was her eyebrows did a thing that was like my brain saying no, but my body saying yes.
How long have you been... doing shows on Bourbon, because that's...
You mean the Oz show? Or the...
The Oz
MC
show,
gigs?
Or like any... Yeah.
The MC gigs I started when I first quit teaching. And I was actually doing that full time. The Oz show I've
So
had,
you were like, I'm going to go from handling a group of people that are impossible to handle to I'm going to go handle a group of people that are impossible to handle.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I have to tell you, my stand-up experience made me a better teacher. It made me better at classroom management. You know, knowing how to control an audience, you know, is a lot. It's the same.
Being able to fucking read a room in the first
place.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so this year... will be the third year of Oz. And I don't do MC stuff anymore. My goal was to make enough money to take one shift away, you know. And so
yeah, that makes
sense. I was only doing like three, which it's just so easy and low stress, and I would just be funny, you know, for rednecks, and you know, so.
Well, and describe emceeing on Bourbon Street for someone who might not understand what that means.
Okay, well, there. Okay, normally the MC on Bourbon Street is the person on stage who's singing some of the songs. It's like, all right, we're going to play some games, and brings people up there. They're just a small town girl. Come on, everybody. That's them just keeping the party going. Mm-hmm. What I did, though, I was at the Bourbon Cowboy where there's a bull. I'd just talk shit the whole time. Like, I didn't.
That's the one with person going out of the.
No.
The bull meaning a mechanical bull?
Mechanical
bull. Did you, like, roast people for falling off the bull?
That's exactly what I would do. You know, I would, we're going to see an accidental titty here. You know, like, ride it like the cousin you took to the prom. You know what I mean? Like,
that's good.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I've got a bunch of those. But. You know,
cousins you took to the prom.
I really like write it like the fat cousin you took to the prom.
All right, yeah. Details are important.
Yeah, but I use it as more of an opportunity to. I wasn't able to do a whole lot of material there because you know the music's going and their attention span is so short. But I was able to make them laugh, and it really helped with crowd work because I'm just walking around talking to people on the microphone. Where are you from? Where are you from? And then say stuff. You know what I mean?
So. I love doing your show because it's fucking the odds are stacked against you, especially for like
that's the Oz show. That's the Oz show, right? Talking about that's a whole other animal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, but there's a similar vibe. Just the whole Bourbon Street thing is like.
Stacked against you in that you will get heckled 100% of the time.
Or somebody's going to talk.
No, it's
it's not even heckling. Well, you have more of an energy that like works for that too.
Yeah. They wanted to see Ben naked and he refused to do it.
That is the first time Ben has ever refused to get naked.
I said I would take my clothes off for money and no one fucking gave me money, so no one's going
to
see shit.
Well, the strip off's right afterwards, so you know, like they're waiting for you to be in that, I guess. Mm. Kyle Smith was in the strip off after he did.
Oh, awesome!
And he fell off the stage and hurt himself.
So. Oh, that sucks.
I think he came in second.
One time
Kyle's
at a,
fucking cut, dude.
At a terrible show. There was a show at Jack's Brewery. Yeah, Kyle is so swole.
Yeah, I want to put all of Kyle in my mouth.
Me too.
Not what I said.
Me.
Yeah, no, that wasn't.
I'd like to differentiate.
He wasn't putting words in your mouth. That came from his heart.
Yeah. I was putting Kyle in your mouth.
He was putting Kyle in his mouth.
Yeah. But his whole body, just like, you know.
Put it all in your mouth and just suck on it for a while.
Sorry, Therese.
Just let him live in there.
Yeah. Benjamin, I need to use the bathroom. Just go, Kyle.
Fuck it, just go. Just
go. MD, you were saying something before
Kyle squirted in my mouth.
At Jack's Brewery, when Leon Blanda had an absolutely horrific dog shit show there that was always dog shit and horrific.
It was bad when Vince ran it, too.
I don't remember
having that show.
Vince ran that for a while.
Forgot. Anyway, it was
Vince
horrible.
Ran like 45 horrible shows before he got fuck yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
No, exactly, which goes to show, just fucking keep trying until you get a good show.
Our Dragon's Den show is great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Also, I took acid at Fuck Yeah a couple weeks ago, and watching you on stage was one of my highlights of comedy at all.
Jeff D is so funny.
I was up on acid, and you were doing... you're just telling the story about being in Joe Dirt 2.
For Jeff's sake and for the audience's sake, I will say that they both told me this... before you came on the show.
I was like coming up on like a very like spiritually potent
was this the same set that you were
drug
talking about?
Right
and different. Just watching you on stage being like I was in Joe Dirt too bitches was like the
2 weeks
funniest
later,
thing I've ever seen. Yeah,
2 weeks later Jeff, okay, so there were these rowdy boys who were actually 30. I assumed they'd be 25, and then I asked them how old they were, and we're like we're 30, and I was like, oh fuck, you're my age. Anyway, so they were wearing the new fuckboy outfit, which is like kind of a skater outfit with like high designer socks. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Like they're that you look autistic,
like,
but expensive.
Like white high tops.
Something like that. Yeah. It was a high
Tyler,
top.
The Creator for that.
So anyway, so like the fake urban white boy autistic look, and they all were very, very loud and very annoying. And then Jeff D gets up on stage and just starts just absolutely sexually harassing them. He's like, I'm gonna, he like talks to the one woman, he's like, you're the queen and you should let all of them fuck you, or whatever you said. It was great. And then you were like, oh, you should let dudes suck your boyfriend's dicks, because you're all, and I agree with this, like how women are just like, oh yeah, you all hate toxic masculinity, and then your boyfriend's like, oh, I sucked a dude's dick, and you're like, ew.
You're not a man,
right? No, you
clearly
gotta,
you're gay,
let your boyfriend get his dick sucked by a fucking man.
Izzy
Yeah, Jeff, get your fucking dick sucked.
Anyway. The other Jeff, I do. You know? Yeah.
I think Benjamin has offered. Has he not?
To suck Jeff's dick?
Yeah.
Just Jeff Gosche.
Yeah.
Not mine, because that would have happened.
Absolutely. I'm not saying I won't, but the offer's not going to be on the table until the dick's on the table. Right. So
exactly. Jeff had a lot of other funny jokes, but then he gets to this one part where he's talking about how you got to fuck dudes in the ass, which is true. They love it. And Jeff Gosche likes things in his butt, and he's very comfortable with that being said. But I've never
all
fucked
men
him.
Do.
Right.
By the
I
way,
mean,
once it
prostates.
Happens, they love it. Yeah. Right. You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like if I actually had a G spot. I'm not a
dudes.
I mean, that's very accurate.
Yeah,
I think the only reason dudes might not like it, besides the like internalized homophobia, is just make sure your fucking butthole's clean.
Yeah,
like,
that's
you
true.
Gotta clean.
Like, well,
you gotta
no,
clean
the butthole. You don't want no, something going I've up had there, a lot of shit know? On my hands.
I have enlarged prostate energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sometimes I worry.
I mean, I literally do. Yeah.
Sometimes, anyway, long story short, you were talking about, you were like, I do coke off your dick. And the boys, by the way, you were their mommy. Like, they stopped talking. They loved you. They were laughing. They were so great. They all tipped so well. They were like, we love the show. You, like, domesticated these
motherfuckers.
Fuck yeah.
And I was like, and I went up after you, and I was like, there's no way I'll be as funny. But you, like, and like 10 people left after my set, because I think they were just like, I'm beaten. Like, I've been, because I had a good set.
Yeah,
but
you
destroyed way better.
Oh.
And also, they, like, loved you so much. And then you were like, oh, I'm gonna do coke off your dick. You were like, I'm gonna do a line off your dick, and then you looked him up and down. You're like, nah, I'll do a bump off.
I think that was in the group chat that you told us about.
It was so good. I was just absolutely. Usually I'm so stressed out when I'm about to do comedy, especially at Fuck Yeah, because I feel like I always have so much to prove and and like that. I was just enjoying you. And then when I had to go up, I was like, ugh, okay, fine. I have to go do comedy.
That's why if you're a comic and you're afraid to go up after people who are good, you fucking suck, because you aren't having fun.
Right, yeah. You
the
need
best
to
thing
I
ever
had so much
is
fun.
To watch someone crush and be like, that was hilarious. I'm already laughing.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
feeling,
exactly.
Like,
right.
You,
well,
you don't have that,
for
you're
a
fucking coward.
Right. Also, you and I are both dirty bitches.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like you and I both, it would suck if you would just
if, like, Scontrino
and
followed.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Like,
yeah.
You
or
and
me.
I have the same energy.
Low energy. Yeah.
I think that you're like a better comedian because you've been doing it a lot longer, but you and I have the same energy.
Yeah. I, you know, I was talking to Marcus Bond about you, Mary
That
Kevin.
Little sweet boy.
Yes. And I was telling him, I was like, you know, I was like, I think she's brilliant because her delivery is something I've never seen before. The way she gets up there and delivers things. And Marcus was like, I think that's just the way she is. No. I've seen her do things over and over again. You know, like there's a craft there. You know that I know you, but there's a craft there.
I
honestly don't think there is.
I agree. It's an accident.
No, you are like the I think probably the most rapid fire. Delivery that I've ever seen.
And it's
like, you don't even talk fast. Just if the audience laughs, you.
Ignore it.
No, you don't ignore it. You do the same thing you do on this podcast where you're like, I have to talk louder because they're making noise.
Right.
It's like how a shark's eyes roll back in its head when it bites. You're just like, once you get them, you're just like, I got so much more for you. I have so many more special treats for you. Yeah, dude. And like, it's like the fucking St. Valentine's Day Massacre. It's just like Tommy Gunn fucking just killing.
Well, it's just as, you know, like this kind of shotgun blast of thought processes, mm-hmm. things going. Like when I was getting fingered by this guy and he was my ex-boyfriend. Well, he really wasn't my boyfriend. I was just kind of seeing him. You know, like, and well, we didn't see each other, but you know, we like called each other on the phone.
We only fucked in the dark.
Anyway, but we fucked in the dark. Anyway, so anyway, and by fingering me, you know, like, yeah. It's like you're going to all these different places. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
by the way, he also believes my apartment is haunted.
Right, and I actually talked to him.
He's dead.
Now.
I was 14.
Right. I hope he's not here because, you know. Yeah. You know, it's just a shotgun.
Who's
blast.
Sweating? Can just
yeah, yeah, everyone's sweating.
Everyone's sweating. Yeah, yeah, okay,
I
just
can't
making
have the
sure.
AC on.
It's summer in New Orleans. We're all sweating.
You can turn the fan on. That will mix up the sweaty air.
No, I think I just really want to smoke a cigarette, but we should probably record more.
No, yeah, I think because yeah, I think that we should just finish the episode.
Let's
I mean,
just
not
finish
end
the episode.
It, but finish it.
Yeah,
because we're we got.
Are you mansplaining to her when it's time to smoke a cigarette? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Do you want a cigarette?
I do, but we can finish.
No,
the
let's
episode.
Finish it.
No,
there
we can.
Devin.
I okay. So here's the thing. I need you guys to help me figure out what our Batman transition sound is going to be, like the like in between scenes. Because mm-hmm. if I can do that, then I don't have to make it sound like a coherent conversation, and that is helpful. That takes a lot of labor out of it.
No, me. I think we actually, for once, didn't say anything. We got to like.
Cut.
I edit the podcast in such a way that like it's not that you won't get fired, it's that I won't get canceled for being associated with you.
Got it. Okay. Well, you know, also if I do get fired, it's okay because it does seem like there's a lot of shit going down right now.
Oh, really?
Well, but here's the other thing. If you're telling the truth, that should never be something you're afraid of.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, like I am talking about my experience and what I went through and what I saw.
Says someone who no longer works at a school.
Oh, you damn Skippy. You know? But I am, you know, I don't think that, and of course people can say, oh, well, you know, he works for a charter school.
But Louisiana is a right to work state. So
sure.
Anyone can fire you for any reason.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, like that's again, you know,
including trying to unionize.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They
yeah,
can still fire you even if you've got the union.
Also, there's no way I'm going to organize a bunch of French people who are all moving back to France and have untaxed money right
now.
Well,
you can organize the French. It's just that they think that
I don't even I can't that, organize because I don't do social justice or political work.
They think I mean you can organize the French. It's just that their idea of being organized is like pouring milk on their heads and being like I am out of cigarettes.
You know, there was
the French are amazing at organizing.
Yeah, they're amazing.
If they're like, you have to go to work on time, they're like, we're going to set the country on fire.
Yeah, if you tell them that you have to sit with their kids, like their class for 1 minute, even if they're going to stay at school and do work after school, once their duty is over, they get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because in French schools, there's no carpool. In French schools, they just send them out in a rainstorm, and they're just like, oh, put a baguette on your head.
Au revoir. À demain. Yeah. À demain.
À demain. Bon weekend. Yeah. That's the only thing I can say in French. Bon weekend. Bonjour. I say bonjour and not like bonjour. And so
bonjour.
There's
bonjour.
Like, there's one horny teacher that's always like, I love how you can say it with an accent. I'm just like, get out of here.
I was friends with this Quebecois lady.
No, he's hot.
And
he's old.
I would always I would say good night to her because we lived on the same farm together. But good night and nice ass are almost exactly the same. It's like bon oui. I'm not sure.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
But yeah, apparently bon oui. It like the way I would just always say to her like. Nice ass.
Oh, dude. Right. In Spanish?
Okay.
In Spanish, the.
I love that long haired boy that always talks about my ass.
Melanie.
Fuck, in Spanish, the word year and anus are one accent mark.
Ano,
Anos. Yeah.
Ano and Ano. Yeah. So, but nice I can't. Friend. Oh, yeah. It's like if you say your age, you're basically saying, like, you say, I have 25 years. So, like, if you say it wrong, you say, I have 25 anuses. It tickles me every time.
I have 25 anuses.
Yeah.
God, that'd be some pervert's dream. Do you know what?
A 25-dicked pervert.
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out what nice ass is in French.
I thought the word for ass was... I mean, I'm sure there are many synonyms.
Right,
it
because...
It might just be specifically French-Canadian, too.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, she was Quebecois.
Cool.
Quebec?
Yeah, that's... See,
Quebec Hill.
Cool. C-O-U-L. It'd be a bell, bell coup.
Bell coup. Oh, bell. If you, that's a feminine.
Yes,
boku.
Because you have to do bell and bon and eel
buku.
And el.
Buku fest.
I wonder how many trans in
with the gendered,
like the conjugation
dude, with
of
the
verbs
gendered
and
fucking,
stuff.
It is. I mean, gendered language. I mean, it's insane that we actually have a better language for it. Because I feel
it's
like
it's already so bad, and then there are worse languages.
Feminized
for that.
Words, like you can't say words, so it's not just like your pronouns. It's every word that's directed against you is going to be feminized or masculinized, and you don't either identify with. I mean, yeah, if you're trans, being trans in a country with romantic languages that have gendered words would suck ass.
Yeah. One thing that I've been trying to watch out for, I call everyone bro. But like,
yeah,
shouldn't do that to trans women.
Yeah, for sure.
Do it to trans men.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I love that shit.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah,
fuck yeah, bro.
Yeah, I definitely went through a dude phase with trans
guys,
women who were like
guys is a little fucking aggression. I'm not complaining. It's like legit. Yeah.
No, it's a legit thing. I understand. I also think it takes time because I think that like once someone knows you well enough and like is no longer as dysphoric or whatever it is, dysphoric.
Yeah.
I feel like then like you can handle like a gal to gal convo where you say dude accidentally. Yeah. But when you first transition, I'm not saying that anyone should have to adapt to like,
no.
Cause I also think that the reason that we say dude is that we consider women dudes because our perception of gender is that like dude's the good thing to be. So if I'm calling you dude, it's cause you're cool.
Yeah. Right. Well, then you also take in like the gay. So I know a trans man who is also gay, and I find myself being like, girl, because that's what I would do to any other
gay man.
That's
what you
would
do, Jeff. I'll be like, girl, fuck you. Right. Which is also appropriate for black women way down the line.
You know, be like, bitch, girl, you know. And so then I had to have the conversation. I was like, I hope you don't think I'm misgendering you. I'm actually just sort of using the colloquialisms, you know.
Yeah, like, I respect you so much
that I'm actually calling you girl.
This is out of love.
Yeah, you know, like. Yeah.
Did that offend that person, or?
No.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
No.
I mean, and also if it did, like they have a right to. It's a person to person. Like, everyone has a right to be offended by anything. Everyone has a right to be asked to call any pronoun or any identifying marker. That's totally fine. I just also think that, you know, especially if you are a person who does not occupy a gender non-conforming space that like gets murdered a lot, like for instance, people who are assigned female at birth who are non-binary but still like very cis presenting, and like especially white people, I do think that those people owe people more of a explanation time than someone who is very like not cis passing and especially not white, because those people are the ones who are being murdered for being trans. Like, I just think that we all intuitively know that there's a difference between being a non-binary person who prefers to be called they, and people still should respect you, but it is,
well, you should respect all human beings,
right? Well, people still should respect you, but like it does take a longer to adjust to. There's just this like attitude that people should immediately understand intuitively that since you have a short haircut that like you might not identify as she, and I'm like, okay, well, that's not the same as if a person is wearing clothing from a women's clothing store and like makeup and like obviously saying he is intentional misgendering.
It's impossible to tie or to completely untie it from like cultural presentation
and from gender binaries, because right now like we still operate on gender binaries, even trans inclusivity does, and so it's really hard to expect that everyone has gotten the memo that you should never assume a person's gender.
Well, here's I think that on a multitude of issues, not just the trans issue, we need to take a step back and understand that people are ignorant. And that does not necessarily make them a bad person, right? So destroying someone on Twitter, right, is not going to educate anybody.
No.
You know, and I
And
always,
are we coming from it, or are we actually like, is someone actually being abusive, or are 2,000 people so
understand.
Happy that someone did something
if,
that they
know,
didn't
if
like,
you're giving everyone a grade
on average, people would get a 50, which is an F.
Right, so,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like if our society was less about shaming and more about educating, we could get a lot more progressive ideas put through. Because there is a way to explain things to everyone.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there will always be some people like, fuck you, I don't understand it, you faggot. You know what I mean? Like, fuck you. Yeah. Those people are done. Don't even attempt. I think that's what you were talking about earlier. You know, they're some.
Just don't waste your time on some people. Yeah.
But I think most people, nobody likes for other people to not
to be
like
in pain.
Them.
Right.
Yeah. And or to be in pain, you know, mostly. And I think that when we just get angry and blast, we miss opportunities to really solve some problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? My thing that I say on every episode is like, if you are not personally being oppressed by what's being said, it, as an ally, it's your job to not get angry, because you gotta let the people being fucking oppressed get angry, and you do the sweet thing.
Yeah.
And then so when they say fucking something dog shit about you, you get pissed and someone else picks up the fucking work.
But also, even when like, okay, but then there's the issue of like when people who are part of a marginalized group will tweet something like, he is, you know, this is transphobia. Like, just say it's a quote tweet that says, this is transphobia, which I've never, you know. Then when a bunch of cis people like it and retweet it, it's them being like, me, I understand.
Right.
And I'm just like, but also that you're amplifying someone's platform, which is something that you're told that you should do. So ultimately, I think that like none of it matters except for things that are extremely egregious and intuitively wrong, which is also subjective. Mm. But I do think that like, I think everyone understands the difference between getting corrected and being like, oh, excuse me, and then getting corrected again and being like, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I forgot, when it's like a they and them and like not a he or she, than if you're saying that to a trans woman who obviously is presenting as a woman. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is I think everyone knows that there's a difference. I'm not saying that you should be able to belittle non-binary identities, because as Benjamin has pointed out to me on and off of the podcast, like, and I mean, I know this, but it's hard for me to accept because I am so afraid of, like, giving up. I'm so afraid of giving up the unique space that cis women have, because we're still oppressed. Mm-hmm. But, like, cis women still occupy a very specifically oppressed space where, like, in many ways, trans women are more oppressed than we are. But the fact that they'll never have to have abortions makes them
But now trans men are saying,
having abortions,
talking about abortions and
uterus.
And I understand. And I think that's a conversation that needs to be had.
Sure, yeah.
And right now, men saying, hey, don't forget about us, and cis women saying, what do you mean don't forget about you? This is a women's issue. And they're like, but we're men.
Right.
And, you know, I'm certainly not going to weigh in on it because I'm not, you know.
But like, isn't it one of those things where it's like, okay, obviously, so it is, I always say it is a women's issue that affects trans men and non-binary people, because the reason that abortion is illegal is that the historically oppressed gender, when there is a gender binary, mm-hmm. I mean, like, I agree there shouldn't be, and there's more than two genders for sure.
Right. If you're not starting at zero here.
If you're a trans man who passes, then you're collateral damage because it's not targeted at you.
Exactly. No. So it's like, it's not targeted at you. However, if you're a trans man that is not passing and you identify as a man, then like politically to our enemies, it's still an issue that's oppressing you because of misogyny, not because of anti-trans specific sentiment.
Well, and I also think we need to be careful about who is, because whenever you want any kind of social change, you don't want to confuse people, right? You want it to be clear.
Well, that's why they said.
So it's,
that's why they said being gay is not a choice.
That's why.
And they made it. Right. And sometimes, and I mean, it is not a choice. But also, sometimes women just politically are like, I'm going to fuck other women because I hate men.
Yeah.
And like, and you can still enjoy sex with women even if you're not quote unquote born gay. Like if you're bi and decide you only want to fuck women anyway.
Right. Well, I guess I just wish the language was not, hey, this is an issue for us too, and you're not acknowledging us, and was more, we're with you because this affects us as well.
This is one.
You know what I'm saying?
This is one of MD's thing is that is like the sort of My understanding of your position is just that, like, it really clouds the messaging to have to do all these footnotes and asterisks to what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
But we should figure out a way that is inclusive and also absolutely. And also pithy. Not pithy, but, like,
succinct enough to
succinct,
be catchy.
Yes, succinct. Yeah. Exactly. Like, yeah. There is a way to be inclusive, which is why I usually say people or residents. Like, when mm-hmm. I talk about Louisiana women, I've stopped saying Louisiana women about abortions. I've started saying Louisiana residents because that emphasizes that it's, like, not just women, mm-hmm. but, like, it is one word. But, like, when you're, like, women and non-binary and trans men, I'm like, okay, so let's figure out, we can just say people, mm-hmm. and everyone will know that cisgender men we're not talking about.
Right, well, this here's my
wait,
thing.
You're not?
Right now.
Y'all are never going to have abortions.
Right,
but,
no.
Yeah.
No.
But we all know when you say people talking about having abortions, we know who we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
We are trying to label everything, and that's because non-progressives and conservatives, bigots, are like, well, what the fuck is this?
Right.
So we've had to put a label on it and say, this is who I am. This mm-hmm. is what I am. This is my label. But I guarantee you in 10 years, the progressive liberal push will be to not label anyone. Mm-hmm. I'm a human, you know.
Right.
Don't label.
It's like how
I think that there is a pendulum swing with, like, how important individual identity is towards what progressive ideals are, mm-hmm. and, like, through a communal understanding, the important thing is, like, less about the individual, mm-hmm. but when there are issues that affect some people so much more than other people, those identities have to become more defined and hyper-pronounced, and they have to be specific.
Magnified, yeah.
Yeah, magnified. But the important thing through all of it is just a way to, even if you're maybe going to fuck up, just, like, make sure that everyone knows that the most important thing you can do around any of this is figure out a way to, like, try and express solidarity with anyone who's right. even remotely on your
people.
Side.
I mean, yeah. this is like, this reminds me of a conversation that we had walking to get Bloody Marys. And, like, it's basically like, just stop me if this is a mischaracterization, but it was basically like Benjamin being like, we're all just people, man. And MD being like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, that was the conversation. And but basically I think the substance of it was like,
we are all just
was
people,
like, was
man,
like,
though.
Like the very identity distinctions that are like that facilitate oppression in the first place are also really useful to organize around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that
It is that, and also the fact that there are gender variants just solidifies the essential elements of gender. So the fact that there are gender non-binary people, and the fact that there are, like, trans people in one sense, and this is why feminists hate trans, or what, not all
TERFs,
feminists,
yeah.
TERFs, trans-exclusive right. radical feminists right. hate trans people, is they're like, okay, so you're saying there's an essential quality to being a woman, mm-hmm. and then
a non-biological essential quality.
Right.
A non-bi... Or a bi... Well, right.
Well, they're saying there's a biological essential quality.
Well, yeah. Not,
right. A non-biological...
not general.
There's something mystical in the brain.
Trans people,
and I think,
you know,
that,
like,
it's so funny because the trans... The whole trans thing... I mean, like, Kate Bornstein was one of the, like... founders of the, y'all know Kate Bornstein, mm-hmm. gender outlaw, huge. I mean, we read her in 2008, mm-hmm. and, like, before trans issues were a thing, Kate Bornstein had gone back and forth between identifying as non-binary, mm-hmm. Todd Berry. No.
she is Todd Berry.
She's Todd Berry.
Right.
No.
She was Kate Bornstein, and then she Kate Transitionstein.
And he became Todd Berry.
No, but Kate yes. Bornstein has gone back and forth between man, woman, mm-hmm. non-binary, before non-binary existed as a term. And, like, basically her whole thing, and this is, like, this basically kept me asleep at night, was, like, you know, the reason that people will transition and then quote-unquote detransition is that gender is fake. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. if you are a gender nonconforming person and then you transition, a lot of times it's just because you're not binary. So right. then you'll end up, and that happens. So a lot of people
yeah,
use.
Yeah, you're like.
You're floating.
Presenting as cis or whatever. And right. you're like, this sucks. And then you transition. You're like, fuck, this also
right.
sucks.
And you're like, I want mustaches. I want a mustache and tits and lipstick and a little bitty dick. And that's
fuck
like,
yeah.
that works for you.
Yeah.
So in that sense, like, that's good. Like, we should have, those people should not be fucking, like, it's no longer like this, but it's still still on, they're still on the fringes. Like, people who are not immediately recognizable as one gender and the other are definitely on the fringes. Not just not just trans people who are trying to pass as one gender, but especially people who have, like, you know, had doubts and gone back and forth. Like, I know a lot of people, like at least five or six, who are not identifiable as even trying to present as one gender or the other. And those people really do fuck us up, and that's crazy. And we should change our minds about that. However, I do feel like there are certain things that, like, when you say abortion's a women's issue, I don't think that's transphobia. I think that, like, we're operating in a society where we still are in a binary. So the idea that that's transphobia is intuitively ridiculous to me, even though I still love those fucking people, and I don't think that you should have to be a binary.
There are definitely TERFs who really mean it when they say abortion is a women's issue, but for the most part, it's just succinct messaging.
It's just succinct,
like, political messaging is inherently corrupted by the fact that you have to fucking fit it into people's ears. Sorry, go ahead.
You don't want to confuse it. You know, you don't want...
Because the reason trans men's uteruses are oppressed is ultimately because people hate women.
Right.
Like, it's still a women's issue, even though trans men also suffer. Like, trans men and non-binary people suffer from anti-abortion legislation, for sure, and I'm totally willing to acknowledge that. But it is because of misogyny against women.
And I think
women.
We can just, but
put
saying,
that into another thing. But saying, trans people suffer. You know, like, here's another... Trans people are openly discriminated against. You know, and openly... mocked, and, you know, because people don't understand it, and people don't,
and it freaks them out.
It freaks them out, you know, and like you said, I think as allies, it is our job to, really be the people who say, why do you fucking care? You know what I mean? Like, why do you give a shit about what this person wants and needs? And by the way, they need health care too.
Right.
And getting...
This person's a fucking human being.
And getting that sex change operation is part of what they need. It's not just something... Do you know that in Iran, it's illegal to be gay, but if you want to change sexes, that's legal, and they'll actually pay for it.
What?
Yeah.
Just going back to something that was just said, this isn't always true across the board, but, like, one of the ways you can respect people the most is to... not think about them. Like, there's empathy is important, but also just, like, why do you give a fuck about anyone else, really?
Yeah. My thing is that, like, I can completely see why saying on a large platform that trans men are oppressed by misogyny can fucking trigger dysphoria in trans men.
Right.
That makes complete sense. But, like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I completely agree. But it's just, like, I can see that.
I can see that because I think that it also depends on there's different kinds of women and there's different kinds of trans men. Like, there's women who have, like, you're, unfortunately, right now, your fertility and the state of your uterus and whether or not it can bear children and whether or not you are fucking, and even if you aren't fucking, you could be raped by. Like, if you have a uterus that could be fucked or raped by someone with a sperm and a cock, then, like, you are suffering from misogynistic oppressive laws. So, and I understand that can be, thank you. I understand that can be dysphoric, especially when people are going through hormone confirmation therapy or when they are just not going through that and not going through medical intervention but still living in a body that they find dysphoric, but, like, because of cost or other reasons have decided not to go through that therapy. Like, I understand that saying that, I think it's a fact. And I think that, like, I'm not trying to throw at anyone's face, like, I'm not saying anyone's a woman who doesn't identify as a woman. I'm just saying that, like, people who have uteruses, and I don't want to just say uterus havers all the time, because it feels dumb to just say owners of uteruses all the time, because it's like, we're mostly talking about women.
I mean, it seems that, like, there is no way to simultaneously have succinct messaging and be completely inclusive 1,000% of the time.
I think here's where we get inclusive. Go ahead.
What's that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, well, I was just going to say, just stay out of people's medical decisions.
Well, sure.
Right, but if you're advocating for people to do that.
Yeah. Right. You know, like, and that's what we should be going for.
No, but exactly. That's why I agree with a little bunch of trans people that were like, okay, so, like, even trans women who obviously are never going to have to get abortions, but they were like, anything that affects, like, obviously we need to fight with our, like, you know, uterus having brethren or whatever. Like, we need to, like fight for them, but also like it is directly affecting anyone who's trans. It's directly affecting anyone who's trans, because when you are legislating something intimate about something, then you are chipping away at the ability for trans people to like have, you know, hormone therapy and any kind of therapy.
But I think sometimes it does. You should just boil it down to like
the body
out
part
of people's medical decisions.
Yeah, but when you're messaging, and I understand when you're messaging for specific things,
when you're messaging against something oppressive,
right?
Yeah, I mean, all I was going to say was that like, to communicate with people who are just radically opposed to what you believe, mm-hmm. you have to make major compromises that will absolutely sully the perfection of the politics of what you're saying. And it's just like that is, and that's a decision. And I see, I watch you make that decision on a case by case basis. You don't have like a categorical people with vaginas policy, but like, do you know, or people with uteruses policy?
Yeah, and even in my jokes, I try to be like, like, when I'm telling Whiskey Fingers, sometimes I say people with dicks and sometimes I say men. But, like, when it comes to whiskey dick, I feel like that's a cis man phenomenon. Like, I try to say...
It is.
It's a cis man phenomenon. Because I feel like gay men will just be like, we're going to figure something else out.
It would
out.
Be vodka soda, dude.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Tell me about whiskey dick. Tell me about whiskey dick. That's fine.
Well, I mean...
Tell me about vodka soda dick.
Vodka soda dick. Well,
you
mean...
You dieting bitch.
Well, I've been...
Tell me about Michelob Ultra dick.
Mean water dick.
Mean water dick.
I think that's a good place to go ahead and close this. I'm Jeff D, everybody. The cat just came in, which is our cue. It should be a meow. Your little bat thing should be a meow. It should be like, meow. You know? Like.
Wait, no. Tell me about vodka.
Well,
soda
you know, if you're having trouble having sex, you're having trouble having sex.
Right.
You know, like having sex with a drunk person is hard. No matter what.
Right.
You know,
and
like,
soft,
and so,
no matter what.
But if you're both drunk, then it's really hard and soft. And, you know, like, I think every human being, no matter what your status, your whatever, drunk sex is rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, and then somebody throws up and, you know, at least,
right.
Hopefully it's not on your whiskey dick. You know.
Man, getting vomit.
Maybe that'll break it up.
Soft dick has to be.
I'm sucking it too much. My mouth is tired, and now I'm gonna throw.
I've had that.
Right,
you know, when your lips get like really soft and red.
Oh my god! And also when you get like the Captain Crunch thing inside your mouth because you've been like sucking hard and it's against
you're the first dick sucking
like,
slut.
Not on the roof,
that's been
like
on
around the cheeks and stuff. Like you're sucking.
Yeah.
So your teeth are.
I remember that when I used to really.
You're like, I'm getting.
No, I'm really good at it. I'm just letting you know.
Jeff's gonna be like, she's never sucked my dick for more than 3 minutes at a time. And I'll be like, that's because I knew you loved me.
Right. That's because I don't want to do it.
Anytime a straight woman complains about a straight man's
about anything, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Anytime a straight woman complains about a straight man's whiskey dick, that man sucks at sex, because if he fucking got her off, she would not be fucking complaining.
Yeah, Jeff, like, pretty much only gets me off through eating me out. That's why I do not care that whenever we have sex, it only lasts 6 to 15 minutes, because I've already come.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I'm like, you've already made me come. So now
it's your turn, big boy. It's your turn, big boy. You go for it.
Yeah. And I secretly have much less work to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Yeah.
I know.
I figured that out earlier. It's
easy.
Just like, if she
knock
comes
it out
before you even fucking, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Men are easy.
You could cry.
Yeah.
She will, she'll like you. She'll think you're a good guy.
Yeah.
You know what can actually combat whiskey dick? Mm-hmm. Put something in his butt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
That's true.
Yeah. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Go to that prostate,
it's
man.
It's like
and
a
bing.
Yeah, backup generator for.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
See the special man.
There's just some yat that just puts on the glove. He's like, all right.
Yeah, right. Here we go.
Let him have it.
Okay. Yeah. Give me the coconut oil. Give me the olive oil. He's Italian.
The olive oil.
All right, my husband's at 700 Club. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. All right, let's close it out. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Do you have anything you want to plug?
Your own ass.
You just go to jeffdcomedy.com and you can see where I'm at and my ass.
Hell yeah.
Wait, your album. What's it going to be called?
My album.
You just recorded it.
I don't know what it's going to be called. It's coming out this summer.
Oh, wait. Also watch Joe Dirt 2.
Yes. You can see me as the perverted gynecologist in Joe Dirt 2.
Jeff gets royalties every time you watch it.
I do actually.
Fuck yeah. Watch Joe Dirt 2.
Please do. But just okay, watch. So I'm in the first 15 minutes, so just watch that and forget the rest of it.
JeffDComedy.com.
JeffDComedy.com.
Love you, Jeff.
Love
D.
You.
I love you.
Bye.